Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. It has been so fun to be back live in the studio for this season of the She Said Project podcast, where we welcome back women who've appeared on stage in That's What She Said, both in the flagship community of Champaign, Illinois, and in more communities as we grow. I am your host, Jeanette Jerzyk, National Director of the She Said Project. So excited to be here with my gorgeous co-host, Carrie Rosso, one of the founders, creators, launchers, if you will, of That's What She Said almost a decade ago. But we're not going to talk about that.
I was 10.
You were a baby prodigy. But what you did do is you figured out that the power of women's stories is super important, and you created a safe space for those women to be heard, both in your community and now, I want to say around the world, because it just sounds really cool, but we'll get there. Our guest today on the podcast is one of these women who stood loud and proud, shared her story on the She Said stage, but also brought That's What She Said to her community of Peoria, Illinois. Joining us today, Nikki Romaine. Hello, my Woo-hoo! Friend.
That was such a fabulous introduction. Can you introduce me all the time, please? Thank you.
I would like to follow you around with a microphone and just announce that Nikki has arrived all the time.
Yep. I want to be like in your girl band. So Jeanette can introduce you, and then I'm just going to stand off to the side in like a silk jacket and snap my fingers like a scene out of Grease.
Let's
and like,
mm-hmm.
I'm with her. Uh-huh.
Let's put this show on the road, ladies. Let's go.
We kind of did, actually. Perfect segue. Wink,
right.
Wink. But we did. The show started here in Champaign. Carrie was here in the very beginning of it all. I got to join the team a couple years later. I helped launch it in cities like Bloomington, Illinois. And then, Nikki, I love this story because this is fun to me. Like, you and I got introduced. We're two peas in a pod, like-minded women, theater backgrounds, wanting to create safe space for women. And we are going to launch That's What She Said, Peoria, Illinois. And that famed meeting that you and I had was on Friday, March 13th, 2020, when obviously the world came to a standstill and we all had to pivot and shift gears. But that didn't stop us, did it?
Not at all. 2 years in the making. So we did it. And we made it happen right here in Peoria. And I'm super stoked that not only did we do Peoria, but we have built a wonderful friendship and partnership. I'm excited to be a part of this, She Said, sisterhood.
Nikki, I couldn't agree more. Getting to know you as a person, as a sister, has been amazing. Watching the work that you do in your town has been absolutely inspiring. Would you share with our listeners about your organization and the work that you do?
Absolutely. So I am the co-founder and executive director of Artists Reenvisioning Tomorrow, also known as ART Inc. And basically, my husband and I bought an old abandoned school building in the North Valley area of Peoria, Illinois, and we have turned it into the Romaine Arts and Culture Center. And our mission is to inspire and empower the community through arts, education, and culture. And we do that through our programming. So we provide after-school arts program. We help the kids with their homework. Then they do all sorts of arts, from sewing, dance, visual arts, cooking, any type of arts, ceramics, you name it, we're doing here at the Romaine Arts and Culture Center. In addition to that, we also do adult programming that we're starting to kick off. And so when you brought this, it's like the perfect fit, because separate from Art Inc., my personal mission in life is empowering and inspiring women and youth. And I have a passion for just motivating women on a basic level, motivating my girlfriends to be the best, to be their best selves, and to show up as their best selves at all times. I was just so eager to do That's What She Said here in Peoria. And I'm just so glad that you were brought to me.
It was such a good fit and such an honor to get to work with you. But for you to create space just to bring this event to your community in all the work that you do, I can't believe you found the time, but you certainly made the time not just to produce the show, but to empower the other seven women who appeared on stage with you on that magical night where we premiered the show. And as we know, it's women telling stories. They didn't know what they were going to say when they said yes to this adventure. Carrie, you know what that's like. Hey, be on stage. Share a story. What are you going to talk about?
And the great thing is, because women, whenever people say, what's your story? Like, the truth is that none of us have just one story. We've created and lived 1,000 different stories, and we can pull from everybody has a funny story, a sad story, a fill in the blank story. And it's just a matter of piecing it together. And I have to say, I did not get to see your show in person. And when I was in my fuzzy robe watching the video of it, I had to stop it and text you. I was in my kitchen, like, standing up in my fuzzy robe, clapping. This woman is amazing. And it was the first experience I had had just watching the show. I hadn't read their scripts. I hadn't been able to work with you. And so it was the first time I had that experience. And so I think you'll always have a soft spot in my heart because you gave me that experience that I had not had. I'd always been on the other side of it. So I was applauding you in my robe in my kitchen.
Oh, well, yes. And that was such a great text. And this experience in itself, this what you've created is so powerful and so amazing and so inspiring. So I'm just glad to have been a part of, a minuscule part of this whole project.
We could talk at length about how amazing the first Peoria show was, because it really came together and it was produced. It premiered in your beautiful theater, in your beautiful space, in your beautiful school building, with aligning with your beautiful mission. Like, honestly, I could just rag on you all day long. But I want to talk about Nikki and what she shared on stage that night, because you not only were co-producer, but you were a speaker that night. And oh my God, you were so vulnerable and so incredible and so real. When you say you want to empower other women in your world, man, did you. So I'd like to share with our listeners your performance from that night so they can truly understand why we were so excited and going on and on and bragging. So let's cut to the clip and then we'll talk about it. To our friends out there in She Said Land, put down whatever you're doing. Grab a cup of coffee or wine, whatever,
what
and really take a good listen, because this is storytelling at its best. We're going to go back to the live performance from April of 2022, the very first That's What She Said in Peoria, Illinois. This is Nikki Romaine and her story, Unapologetically Me.
You know, I was told repeatedly throughout my entire childhood that if anybody ever touches you, you make sure you tell. And then, lo and behold, someone touched me. It was my sophomore year in high school, and I certainly knew right from wrong. And when the unwelcomed touch turned into more, I spoke up. I told, and absolutely nothing happened. The person and I lived under the same roof, and absolutely nothing happened. I somehow managed to escape the situation, then ran for miles to find safety at a friend's house, and nothing happened. He didn't deny it, but instead profusely apologized and asked if we could all sit down and talk it through. Talk it through? I was mortified because in my head, there was absolutely nothing to talk about. This man tried to rape me. So I stood my ground, and I asked that a bag be packed, brought to where I was staying, and I never stepped a foot back in his house. My family dynamic was completely shattered and sent me on a downward spiral into depression. This particular day, I was all alone and just remember feeling a deep, dark sadness. I went to get a drink of water from the refrigerator and I noticed a bottle of pills. I had no intention. I mean, I didn't have a thought that said, I want to kill myself, or I want to die, or anything like that. I started swallowing the pills, the entire bottle of pills. And then I noticed that they were prescribed to him. At that point, I began to cry uncontrollably. I surrendered, but I wanted to call someone to say goodbye. I called my cousin that I was really close to. I called her because she lived too far to do anything to help me. Well, I was wrong. The next thing I remember was waking up in the hospital with a tube down my throat. And I know this is going to sound real cliche or whatever, but I knew in that moment that I wanted to live. I realized that very moment that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Now, don't get me wrong. I was still empty inside, and I continued to feel all the feelings. But this, it was a mental shift. I also made a promise that day to no longer speak up or speak out. When I returned to school, my choir teacher demanded that I audition for the musical. And although I really didn't care about Joseph or his stupid coat, I did it anyway. And I got the lead role of the narrator. I didn't know anything about musicals except that they were cheesy and stupid. But when I stepped on stage for the very first time, that opening night, it was like I found my purpose. I had never ever felt so at home, so deserving, and like I belonged than I did being on stage. It was like the ultimate high, and I don't even know what drugs are like, but this shit was magical. Especially musicals. I could sing, dance, and act all at the same time. Amazing. By becoming all of these other characters and living their lives, I was able to leave mine temporarily. It allowed me to channel that pain and depression and all that negative energy that surrounded me into a more positive space. And for me, it was better than any therapy I'd experienced. I'd always marched to the beat of my own drum and rarely followed the crowd. But now, being a theater kid, this put a whole new spin on that. And I didn't care one bit. I went on to major in theater, which led to a singing gig that allowed me to tour Northern Italy. Once I got back from that tour, I packed my bags in my little Hyundai and I moved to Los Angeles. I didn't know a soul and I didn't care. While living there, I saw an amazing one-woman show. She transformed into all of these different characters. She embodied them with such ease, and they all had all these different accents. I was like, come tell ya, I do accents, and I do character work, and I can totally make people laugh. Could I do something like that? I don't know, maybe one day I will. And then I had an opportunity to be a part of a writing workshop specifically for one-person shows. I had the perfect picture of what my show would be like. And one thing I made perfectly clear to the instructor on day one was that my show was not gonna be about my life. We were given these writing assignments and we would share, and so many great stories came out of that group. At one point in the class, I was horrified when I realized that what I was writing, what the other actors and writers reacted to the most, what moved them, were the stories of my life. Performing the show started a movement within me, a movement that had awakened that little spitfire that would speak up and speak out. All of this made me realize that even though I felt nothing happened when I spoke up, I was wrong. Something did happen. And even though I felt abandoned as that 15-year-old girl, I am realizing, for the first time now that I chose me. I chose my safety. I chose me. And I'm glad that I did, because we later found out that the man who sexually assaulted me had molested his stepdaughter multiple times years before assaulting me. What if I had not spoken up? What if I had not stood up for myself? What if I had acted like that was some completely normal shit and swept it under the rug like I was being suggested to do? I went on to perform the show in Chicago and Los Angeles with rave reviews from critics. And then my last performance was at a sold-out show at the Royal George Theater in Chicago, which ended with a surprise marriage proposal. I was now back to speaking up and speaking out. And I was planning to start a nonprofit in which I would use my show to inspire women and young girls to use their voices. I moved to Peoria and began a new chapter in my life, being married to my soulmate and experiencing the joy of motherhood. As we began the journey of Art Inc., I consulted with family and friends, and we all agreed that I shouldn't tell this particular story. Even though I agreed, it didn't sit well with me. It made me feel some kind of way because I'd kept this private for so long and was just experiencing the joy and exhilaration of speaking my truth. But these sort of stories have always been kept quiet. Everyone knows you don't air your dirty laundry, and you definitely don't talk about mental health, depression, suicide, or anything of that nature in the Black community. And then I remembered that 15-year-old girl that spoke up for herself. What would I say to her? I would remind her that she marches to the beat of her own drum and she doesn't follow the crowd. Well, ladies and gentlemen, she's back. And tonight, I remove the muzzle because this is who I am. I speak up and I speak out, not just for me, but I will speak up and speak out for you. I will create safe spaces for you, your daughters, your aunties, and for my mom, who I eventually learned had been molested as a child. And when I was assaulted, she shut down just the way she had done when she was a little girl. And for all the Black and brown girls who have been told or feel that they should mute themselves. And it all starts with me. So I stand here authentically and unapologetically being me.
Just wow. Just wow. Nikki, that was sensational.
Well, it answers the question Jeanette has been asking for years, but will it play in Peoria? Yes. Yes, with a big wow.
Resounding yes.
It absolutely did play in Peoria, and it played so well.
It did. And you were the grand finale, if you will, of the show with the final story. And then, of course, you led the whole cast in a sing-along to take us all home. But the story you shared that night, you and I went back and forth quite a bit about finding the right framework for your story and getting it just right. But you shared a very, very vulnerable experience that you had as a young girl. Can you share with us now, what was that like to share that in that type of environment in front of a couple hundred of your closest friends?
So in the story, I talk about me telling this story in a play. And in a play, it is, I'm doing all these different characters, I'm singing, I'm dancing, I'm doing all this stuff. But this was really just like I was naked on stage. It wasn't, there's no frills, there's nothing but me and the mic. So it was definitely a different experience telling it in that way. And also, as I say in the story, telling it to an audience that didn't know anything in a space that we had chosen that we weren't going to tell this specific story. So there's all these different layers that are on top of me telling this particular story. I was nervous. I had times of second guessing, should this be the story that I tell? But ultimately, it was a resounding yes, absolutely, I should tell this story. And as you and I worked on it, I came from different angles, like coming at it from a movie to a short film. And then once, can I just say, Jeanette is an amazing editor and really, really great sounding board. So amazing. I want to consult with you on everything that I write now.
Aww,
because, you know,
yes.
I had already written this out as a one-woman show before, but again, this was completely different. The other thing is, you know, I'm spending all this time working on the other lady's story, so if I had crammed this time into my story, But when I would speak with you, it would just come pouring out of me. Like I would just get so inspired and give me a note and I'm all in it. And it was amazing. And I think the experience itself was another level of this story that I've told before, but just in a completely different way and a new experience for me. So it was life-changing. It was great.
Oh, Nikki, that means so much. And working with you was exquisite, but I really want to point out that the core of the work, and that's what she said, is just listening, is just creating that safe space and then getting out of your way and the other speaker's way, because the goodness is there. It's always there. And we as women want to create those layers and hide behind those characters to protect ourselves, our hearts and our souls and our, you know, our vulnerable sides. And the goal with That's What She Said is literally to just remove all those layers and let it be, and let it be beautiful. And that's exactly what you were able to do. And you drew all of us in to your journey. And we got to cry with you, and we got to celebrate with you as you found your own discovery. It was so powerful.
I agree. It was powerful. And I really enjoyed the producing aspect of it and getting to listen to everyone else's story and help them build their stories. But it is a completely different experience when it's your story. And I was able to separate that and have both experiences at the same time, which was also magical. So I enjoyed pouring into the other women, but also being able to really hone my story and just kind of create or curate this amazing night.
What has been the feedback since the show that you've gotten?
Oh my gosh, the feedback has been absolutely amazing. Everywhere I go, even today I went to a function and a guy at my table was like, I was there at That's What She Said, and oh my God, it was amazing. People have been sending me messages like, hey, can I be in there next year? it's been an amazing experience. People just calling to say this experience was for them. I had someone, a friend in another organization that I'm in, say that someone in their team came and saw the show and how my story inspired them, and said to tell her, please, please, please make sure she does this. She said she's going to do it every year, but please make sure she does it every year.
Like, that they're going to hold her to it.
Make sure I do it.
Yeah, they're going to hold you to
hold
it.
Hold her to it. Yeah.
What we find when we produce the show here in Champaign and in new communities, women are so hungry for events like this where they can be themselves, where they can share and connect. The world is such a mess right now that this whole concept of safe space for women to be celebrated for exactly who they already are is just, it's so needed. And women got something to say. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And the moment that really struck me in your story was when you took it back to your mom. How I got the feeling at the beginning of your story that you had a sense of disappointment and resentment about how she treated the situation. And then to learn at the end that she had also been in an abusive situation, and how she reacted to it, and therefore how that played out. It's like the cycle, and that you standing proudly on that stage and being open and honest, you're ending it with you. You're ending the cycle of abuse right there.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. And the thing about it is, it's like, even though I thought nothing happened and maybe she felt she didn't do enough, but she raised me to speak up. So she did stop the cycle, because even though I know that she wanted to do more, but she, you know, she was halted by her own experiences, but she wanted to do more and you know, felt some kind of way that she didn't, but she did, because she had already instilled in me to speak up. And not only speak up, but she had instilled that in me so much that I spoke up, I ran, I got out of the situation. Yeah. And allowed in a space where I wouldn't even allow that to happen to me. So, I mean, she should be super proud of her own self
for, even though, you know, like I said, she didn't quite step up the way she anticipated when she would say, you know, make sure you tell mommy, make sure you tell mommy. But she did, in her own way, she did. She raised me right. She raised me, and that's how, I'm sorry, I'm going to start crying. That's what makes me who I am and makes me able to stand up and speak up and speak out.
Yeah, in that moment, you didn't see her strength, but it was there. And because of her experience, she did do the right thing. You just didn't see it until later.
And exactly.
That's so great. And that's the work that you're doing now. You're doing that work for your daughter. You're doing that work for my daughter. You're doing that work for all the little girls in your programs so that, you know, no one ever has to be afraid of being who they are and speaking their truth.
Yeah. Because again, as I said in my story, these types of things often get brushed under the rug. I have seen several instances where, oh, you know, don't say anything because, you know, she's married to him and he has a really good job and he takes care of the family. Okay, well, what about what just happened to me? You know, yeah. What about what he's doing? So no one should say anything. I mean, it could go on and on about all the different experiences that people have had when it comes to sexual assault, molestation. But we need spaces where these women can feel safe and speaking up. And even though you may not get the response that you think, there's still power in speaking up. It is. And you have to speak up. That is the message.
And you did. Loud and proud, my friend. If I learned one thing from Carrie Rosso in this journey, it's stand up loud and proud. Let your freak flag fly. The Carrie quote. We can edit that out. But you did. You stood up loud and proud. Sorry, we had to break the tension.
Yeah, well, I always fly my freak flag proudly, and I think it gives other people permission. Like, and when I say freak flag, it means, you know, whatever the thing is that in your mind you feel like is the freak flag. Like, oh my gosh, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to say. What are they going to say? How will they respond? Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
And then, like, so you make it the worst thing. It's my freak flag. And then you're like, you know what? And then when I shout it and show it to everybody, it gives everybody else permission to be like, oh, girl, sit down. Mine is way freakier than that.
Exactly. I agree.
I love this quote by Meryl Streep. Find the thing that makes you the weirdest, that one thing that makes you that, you know, that freaky weird.
Yep.
And then own it, because that's what's going to make you fabulous.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's so hard, especially for young girls. It's a fear factor for them, the things that set them apart. There's such a need and desire at that time to be one of the crowd. And I think that even if they aren't quite there yet, to see women ahead of them who are proud and celebrate it in themselves and celebrate it in each other, and that are telling the funny stories, but also telling these stories that are really hard to tell, but pushing forward and doing it anyway. I think that you've given a gift to so many people, more than you'll probably ever know.
But the huge strength in all of this is, you know, we think, oh, I don't want to say this. I'll be weird. We're all weird.
Yeah.
We all have some, you know what I mean? Like, you're saying you want to be normal or whatever, but what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, by doing that's what she said, you realize, like, I can't tell you how many people in the audience, and even the young lady that spoke to the friend that I know, I could totally relate to your story. And all of the other women in the cast received that as well. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I experienced something similar. We all have a story, and we all have these things that make us quirky, that makes us funny, that whatever, all the different layers. We're human. So we all have these layers to us, and we shouldn't be ashamed of them, because the person next to you could have the exact same experience.
And there's no greater, you know, long before the Me Too moment took on the magnitude it does now, but there's nothing that connects us faster than, you know, revealing something and seeing someone nod or say Me Too. And it can be about whatever it is, you know, and in your mind you think you must be the only one. And then to see someone have that flicker in their eye and like, yep, Me Too.
Carrie, you always say that's what she said is like a window and a door. Nope.
Nope.
I said that wrong. Carrie, you always say that's what she said is like a window and a mirror. You're either looking into the mirror, reflecting something you heard or saw back at yourself and feeling like me too, or you're looking through a window and learning something completely new that you didn't know before about the women in your community. Nikki, you have brought that's what she said to the women of Peoria. It sounds like it's got to stay. It sounds like we got to keep doing this.
We have you on record.
Oh, absolutely. There's no stopping this show.
No. And we're going to bring it to the teen girls. We're going to invite the women from your show to join us on the podcast, but we wanted you to be the first since you were the first one to say yes. And that is a position of honor. And we are so grateful to know you, to get to work with you, to get to empower women together, to get to share this mission of raising women's voices. And can't thank you enough, my sweetheart. I love you so much. Thank you for everything.
I love you too.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And we're so glad all of our friends and fans could join us today to meet Nikki because she is absolutely incredible. And we'll see you next time on the She Said Project podcast.
Over and out.
Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of The She Said Project and That's What She Said, LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.